For this afternoon and tonight, a significant winter storm, including heavy snow with limited readings.
Hello, and welcome to the Snow Brains Podcast, where it's my job to interview the most intelligent people in the snow sports industry and pass their fascinating knowledge on to you, our listeners. I'm your host, Miles Clark. I'm a professional free skier, a professional mountain guide, a UC Berkeley molecular cell biology graduate, the founder and CEO of Snow Brains, and I've had 15 stitches in my face via my three favorite sports, surfing, skiing, and basketball. The Snow Brains Podcast is brought to you by Alta Ski Area, the birthplace of avalanche research in North America. My guest today is Mike Mon, the general manager of Alta Ski Area in Utah. Mike is only the fourth general manager in Alta's 83-year history. Mike has been working at Alta since 1990, making this his 30th year at Alta. Welcome, Mike. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Where are you today?
Today, I'm sitting in my office at Alta, just outside the Wildcat Lift.
I love it. That's the place to be. So you've been working at Alta for 30 years, which is incredible to me. So is there anywhere on the mountain that you haven't yet gone skiing?
Oh, I'm sure there's some little square patch somewhere I haven't touched, but I've had the opportunity to ski most of our mountain, yes.
I'm jealous, man. It looks like so much fun. I've only spent a couple seasons exploring Alta, and there's a lot there. Can you share any highlights or fun stories from your 30 years at Alta with us?
Sure. You know, I'd been here for a little while, probably about 10 years, and I'd come in early one morning. It happened to be my birthday that day, and so I came in a little early so that I could maybe leave a little early because I was going to have a birthday dinner or something going on. And it happened to be a morning when we'd had a storm. And the patrol was here early to do control work. And I had got up the road right before it was closed for the avalanche control work down in the lower canyon. And so I was up here working and someone on the patrol said, well, what are you doing here? How come you're so early? How come you came up early? You know, because it wasn't my current role at that time. It wasn't expected that I would be there before a road closure. And I said, well, it's my birthday and I'm just going to go home a little early. And they said, it's your birthday. Well, you're coming with us. So the next thing you know, I was on the lift with the patrol, headed up the mountain, you know, in the dark, and we went up and they took me on the High Meadows route, which is a route which you hike up to and you hike along the ridge and they throw bombs off the ridge and put them on ropes and throw them off. And then you get to the end of the ridge and you throw your skis down off this little cliff and you climb down a rope. So you're climbing down this rope and then you get the bottom and you're near the top of what we call high eddies. And they said, okay, you know, it's all yours. Not a track in it, you know, a couple of feet of snow. And we're going to sing happy birthday while you ski down. So I had a beautiful morning. The sun had come up. You know, the snow was just great. That's great snow splashing in your face. And so they sang happy birthday while I put the first set of tracks in that day on that slope. So it was a great way to start the day and a great way to have a birthday.
Gosh, those kind of runs really burn into your memory as a skier and snowboarder, but to have it on your birthday and unexpected and people screaming your birthday song down to you, there's nothing better than that. What do you think, after all your time there, what do you think makes Alta unique? What makes Alta great?
Well, it's a combination of, I think, the mountain itself, the terrain that we have, of course, the snow. I mean, we have the best snow in North America. The terrain is so varied. There's something here for everyone. And then it's the vibe, it's the people, it's the character of this place. You know, that's what you put those three things together. It's a beautiful, majestic place with its own character and just, you know, world-class skiing.
Yeah, Alta isn't the biggest resort in the Rockies, but it does get the most snow in the Rockies and has one of the best vibes anywhere, a true mountain culture town. And it's no frills. It's just skiing. You know, how has Alta been able to stick with its roots so well and not gone the bigger, better, more route that so many other places have gone?
I think there's just been a strong commitment by our owners to kind of keep Alta that way. And then just the nature of how it's configured where, you know, we run the ski lift company, you know, with the patrol and the ski school and all those type of things. The businesses here in the town of Alta, the lodges are all privately, independently owned. They're all separate businesses. So it's this conglomeration of all these little businesses that work together in this community. And the community itself has been very protective of this community, if you would. It hasn't been the place where we've been trying to expand. But, you know, our mission statement is we try to provide an authentic skiing experience in a natural mountain environment. And we've tried to stick to that. We're about skiing, as you mentioned. It's all about skiing here. That's the most important thing. And helping people to connect with the outdoors and have a great ski experience. And so that's been our focus. And how do we make that work for the local market as well as the destination market?
And I've experienced that well too. I actually broke my face in three places at Alta once. I did a big jump and hit my face into my knee, and I've never been treated so well. The people were incredible. I think he even got a discount because they knew I was some kind of crazy guy that just skied all the time. And the vibe there is just phenomenal. Let's get into some of the nitty gritty. You know, this is a season like no other with the coronavirus restrictions. So when does Alta open for the season this year?
Our target opening date is the Saturday before Thanksgiving, which will be November 21st, conditions permitting. We're always a little subject to Mother Nature cooperating.
What will the skiing be like at Alta this season?
The same as it always is here at Alta. When you look at the ski experience on the mountain itself, is like we say, we are dependent upon what Mother Nature gives us, but we're looking forward to the ski experience on the mountain itself, skiing, to be the same quality experience that we've always had.
Will Alta have skier capacity limits this winter?
We will, but not in the traditional way that's a hard fixed number for the whole season. We have always been limited here at Alta by our parking. We're at the end of a canyon. We have a limited amount of parking. And when that parking's full, we're full. But we recognize that this year we can't operate at the same level, same numbers we've had in the past, particularly on the food and beverage side. To be compliant with physical distancing requirements in our restaurants, their capacities, they're all reduced to close to 50% of their normal capacity. We're adding some more outdoor capacity in the food trucks and parking lots, bringing online a couple grab-and-go type windows that are available in our facilities to accommodate people that aren't comfortable coming into the restaurants. We know that everyone won't have an opportunity to go in and eat in a restaurant like they traditionally have. They're either going to have to spread out, bring other options, and we've heard from a fair amount of skiers that they probably bring Clif bars and choose not to come in and sit down and have a meal this year. So on a sunny, warm day, you know, with all of outdoor capacity, outdoor seating, everything available, we easily could make 70%, maybe even have more room. On one of those cold storm days, when it's blowing and it's really cold outside and you need to go in every hour or so for a little bit, you know, our capacity might be closer to 50%. We're going to have to manage that and kind of deal with that as the conditions present themselves.
Do you think this might be, if it is, you know, there is going to be some capacity limits. So is this going to be the season to ski at Alta because there's less people because of coronavirus restrictions and capacity?
We do think that the mountain will not be skied up as much, correct? It will take longer to ski up the mountain because there will be less capacity. So if you are one of those that are able to make it here and ski, this skiing experience might be a little bit better this year.
It might be magical.
It is always magical to ski it out there.
I won't disagree. And, you know, I talked to some of you good folks there, and we were going to push more, trying to get people to come up midweek versus the weekends to avoid bigger weekend crowds. You know, what's your thinking on that?
You know, I think that some of that is naturally going to occur, given that we have a lot more people that are working at home, a lot of people that are doing online school. We've been in touch with some of the ski areas in the Southern Hemisphere this summer that were open. And that was one of the things that they noticed was that the peaks and valleys in the season weren't as dramatic. There was more a leveling of the season. More people came during the middle of the week. More cheap people chose not to come on the weekends. And it wasn't any marketing effort they had done on their part. We're hoping that we see some of that here, and that it seems like that will be the case. We're hearing that a little bit from some of our skiers, that they will maybe come in a little bit more of the off times.
Yeah, that's a great plan. I'm definitely planning on coming midweek. Will there be a reservation system this season? And if so, how does that work?
No, we don't intend to have a reservation system. We have investigated and talked with those that are implementing reservation systems. Most people, most resorts, truly, even those that are claiming to have a reservation system, the reservation system only is controlling part of their volume. One of the challenges we all have, particularly in this age of technology with RFID tickets, is we have so many tickets that are already direct-to-lift. Over two-thirds of our product, the Alta product, is a direct-to-lift ticket. You know, you don't need to go to the ticket window. You don't need to get it in advance. You already have the ticket. And so trying to put something in place that kind of shuts everybody's ticket down and only turns on some of them or requires you to go through another process just seemed a complicated way to try to manage volume that was fraught with potential problems. The other thing that plays into us is Alta is also a very popular backcountry entry point. So, you know, over the last few years, it's not uncommon for me to have 200 cars in my parking lot that are backcountry skiers that are parking here to access, you know, the terrain outside of Alta. Every indication that we've received from the backcountry sales of equipment and stuff so far this year is that you know, that they're up 600%. A lot of interest. A lot of people are interested in going into the backcountry, maybe not coming into the resorts this year. So we anticipate that we will see even more of our parking consumed by non-skiery patrons this year. You combine that with public transportation options have been diminished. And so we anticipate that our parking will be significantly impacted. We'll have less parking than we normally would have. We can manage that and how we park cars. We anticipate parking cars a little wider apart, having more rows. So when we've looked at all of that, we can see that parking is going to probably be match that target of about 50% of our capacity. I don't want anyone to drive to Alta and find out we're full and we can't accommodate their desire to go skiing today. So our efforts are, how do we communicate to people and let them know that we're going to be full by 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock, or we're, you know, so that they know before they've left their home or trying their commute here when we think we will be full, so that they don't make it a necessary trip. So we're fairly confident that that will work on our end. That's the other challenge is with a reservation system is you could have some reservations for people, but they can't get here because of the canyon, right? Because of all the other people that have come up here. You know, we share the road, we share the canyon with Snowbird, who's in this canyon also. And so Snowbird and Alta, we've both looked at it jointly and both kind of came to the conclusion that the best way for us to be able to manage our visitation levels this year will be by the parking and communicating with our guests to let them know where we're at.
Well, it sounds like a very clean and natural solution that essentially your parking lots are going to regulate capacity for you in a lot of ways.
The key is we really have to make sure we've communicated to people so that they know when that occurs.
Will you be offering walk-up tickets this year?
Yes, we still have some walk-up options. You know, we don't sell a lot of walk-up tickets as it is now. You know, it's diminished over the years as we've moved into more and more of these multi-resort products and the direct-to-lift products. That the percentage of people that actually walk up and buy a ticket at the window is quite small. Some people have tried to use sale of walk-up tickets and requiring purchase of tickets in advance as a way to try to manage volume and we go back to, we think our best lever is the parking.
What are your mask requirements at Alta going to be this year?
So a face covering will be required at all times when you're within the ski area and when you can't maintain a distance of 6 feet from the other people. So lift lines, on the lifts, in all of our buildings, except when if you're eating at a restaurant or whatever, all employees, all guests are required to have a face covering.
And are you supposed to wear it while skiing as well?
That's up to you while you're skiing down the hill. That's a personal preference. Generally, you're moving, there's air, and you're not generally within 6 feet of someone. So that's fine.
And then when you hit this lift line, put it back on. It makes sense. Will you guys be selling face masks at all at Alta?
Yes. So if a customer comes and they don't have a face covering, they'll be readily available for them to purchase.
Because one of the messages we're trying to get out there, we talked with medical expert Dr. Fishman on a previous podcast, and he was really emphasizing that we need a two-layer mask. So if you do have a cloth mask, the two-layer mask is best. The neck gaiters are testing about the worst of all masks right now. So I think a lot of us think, oh, great, I wear a mask all the time. So we're trying to get that message out there. If you avoid using your neck gaiter, a two-layer mask is going to be a better situation.
Well, another thing we've suggested is they double over their neck gaiter to give them 2 layers of that. It's another,
that's great.
An easy way to kind of deal with that if you're, you know, not comfortable wearing a mask. Even if you're choosing to use a neck gaiter, please bring another mask in your pocket. Because, you know, typically if you've been skiing and you're using a neck gaiter and it's typical Alta snow, you're going to have a lot of snow in your face. And that's going to be all over that neck gaiter. And so when you go indoors, what do we all do? We take that, we pull that thing off so it will melt. So having another mask in your pocket that you could then slip on.
That is really good
indoor
advice.
Indoor spaces makes a lot of sense. Come prepared to be able to do that.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm going to make a note of that and start pushing that too and on all of our channels. Thank you for that. Are there any out-of-the-box strategies you guys are going to put in place this winter?
The National Ski Association came out with their Ski Well, Be Well kind of guidebook, which had the pillars of, you know, face coverings, physical distancing, employee wellness checks, you know, communication. We're kind of following those basic guidelines and then just adapting them a little bit to our set of circumstances.
Could you walk us through the chairlift strategy?
We'll reconfigure our mazes so that we'll eliminate the singles lines. We'll have mazes that have a lane with a ghost lane in between each one. People then will be allowed to self-group in those mazes, who they're comfortable riding with. If someone wants to ride a chair by themselves, we will accommodate that. We'll ask them to have their mask on or their face covering on, and then we'll load chairs. And once you're on a chair and moving, you've got air movement around you, the risk of spreading the virus between two people is quite low. So that's kind of the basics there on lift loading. It's fairly simple. Our pinch points are going to be first thing in the morning when people arrive and you're not running your lifts yet and everybody kind of accumulates in the maze. You know, that's going to be the time when you have the most people in your base area.
That makes sense. I did want to touch on, you were alluding to somebody might want to ride by themselves because they're not comfortable. And so something we're really pushing this year too is just empathy and understanding, and both in the backcountry and at the ski resort. Let's all just take a deep breath and understand that we're all going through this challenging time right now. Things are a little bit different. They're a little bit wonky. So yeah, let's all just really have some empathy, some understanding. Let's put ourselves in other people's shoes. And yeah, let's just all be cool. It's not that hard.
Yeah, that's the challenge, because the sensitivity to people on this issue is so varied. You know, there's people that, you know, we've had some pass holders that have reviewed kind of what we're doing, and they've sent us a note and said, I think we're going to pass skiing this year. They're just not comfortable. Then you go to the other extreme and you have people that feel like you're a socialist or something because you're doing anything, you know, and so and then you have everything in between. And so we're trying to be respectful of everyone. And our training for our employees is recognize that they have a valid concern, whatever it may be, to respect it, and just to be courteous and nice and have more patience. We're all in this together. And our goal is that we all keep skiing.
I couldn't have said it better. That's perfect. Yeah, let's all be nice to each other. Let's all be cool. We're all in it together. Yeah. I absolutely agree. Will you good folks be running all your chairlifts this year, despite you know capacity restrictions? Great. Everything's running. Yes. And you mentioned restaurants. A lot of those are not run by Alta. And then how about bars? Are any of the bars going to be, you know, I always think of the Après Ski, you know, we all love going to the legendary bars like the Peruvian, the Alta Lodge, the Gold Miner's Daughter.
There is some change there. So the lodging community here to kind of protect their visitors, they are not going to be open to the public this year. So the bars, you know, the P-Dog and all those other bars are only going to be open to the guests that are staying in their facilities. So that's a change in the community here for this year. The three restaurants we do operate are on the map. Still kind of fine-tuning the details of how those are going to work. You know, we've went in and done the spacing so that whenever you're sitting with your party, you're not closer than 6 feet to anyone else. But our intent is you could come into the building, you'd be assigned a table, you'd be able to electronically access the menu and place your order from the table. You'd receive a text message when your order is ready. You'd go up to a pickup point, pick up your order, take it back to your table. After you're done eating, you'd leave everything on your table and exit the building. And that allows us to come in and know that you're done, clean up everything, and sanitize that table before the next guest is invited to take that table. So that's kind of the, you know, the rough kind of outline how we envision that working today as we, you know, we're in the testing and trying to put all those pieces in part. It might get tweaked one way or another. We're trying to follow, we're following the Salt Lake County's and state of Utah's guidelines for restaurants operations here in the state.
Sounds like you have great strategies in place for your three places. And I think the take home is Alta's three restaurants are going to be open with, you know, some modifications to make us all safer. And the Peruvian, the P-Dog, the Alta Lodge, the Gold Miner's Daughter, those are all going to be open, only available, those restaurants and bars, to guests there. So that's great information for people to know before getting up there. And you might have said this just now, but you're not taking cash at your restaurants or at Alta.
No, we are going to encourage the use of credit cards. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We still have to be in a position if someone shows up and they only have cash that we would accommodate it. We don't want to ruin anyone's ski experience by something happened in the parking lot or the ticket window or they didn't have cash or something like that. So we'll be as accommodating as we can. We'll encourage the behavior that minimizes the risk of the spread of this thing, but try to do our best to be accommodating to people at the same time.
And speaking of the spread of this thing, the USA has seen over 8 million cases of coronavirus already. And Utah is having a little bit of a crisis right now, among many other states. And what do you think it would take to shut Alta down again, like what happened last year?
You know, it could be a state mandate, county mandate of some sort. Could just say you can't. I mean, if the restrictions became so onerous that you just don't have any chance of being sustainable in what you're doing, then it might put you in a position where you might have to significantly curtail or shut down. One of the things we did last year is that we were shut down on March 14th. Within a week, we had pretty much closed the area, taken it down, transitioned our people out, and then we opened the ski area back up to uphill traffic to the you know, not running lifts, but we opened it up and hundreds of people chose to come to Alta to hike up and ski on these slopes. During the spring, we felt that was a very positive thing. We kept restrooms open and maintained them for the guests, but that was more of a kind of a backcountry ski experience, but you were in the ski area.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I was there. I'm going to have to ask you, I'm going to just interrupt you. So that it was so cool. I was there. I skied 11 days at Alta after the shutdown. It was so therapeutic. Mount Baldy was incredible. And, you know, you guys allowed uphill traffic and you continued to groom the trail down from the Collins, which was excellent. And at one point in the late spring, you guys were even grooming snow onto the dirt so that we would have access directly to the parking lot without having to walk through the muck. It was so cool. And I think you were getting to this already, but, you know, why did you guys do that? Why did you open uphill traffic after the shutdown and why did you keep grooming for us?
It was twofold. It enabled me to keep some of my employees working. And, you know, we were able to take our summer staff that we have and keep them busy, not have to lay them off or furlough them. And it was just a way to help people to get out and recreate and enjoy the beauty of Alta that's here. You know, it didn't cost us a lot of money to do that. It felt like the right thing to do. You know, in the event that we did get some mandate to shut down again, we may, you know, one of the strategies I've thought about in the back of my head is, let's do that again. And maybe we just charge a little bit for people to park and offset our costs and allow people to come and recreate outdoors because we want people to get outdoors and enjoy it. Shutting everybody up indoors in the winter and not getting them out, it's just not a healthy thing for us to do.
Well, and we know that actually it's being shut up indoors that can help, you know, viruses in particular, especially respiratory viruses, transfer more easily. So that's great. And that was actually, you answered my next question is, you know, if you did really shut down, might you do something like that again? I have reverie about it now, Mike. It was so fun. I experienced Alta in a way that very few people get to experience. And, you know, there were hundreds of us and we really enjoyed it. And so the main message there is thank you. And that was so helpful. And it was just so nice to have somewhere to go skiing that was easy to access. It was, you know, quick. It was fun. It felt very safe. It was just fantastic. So thank you for that. Will the new Salt Lake City Airport, which looks phenomenal, will it be running all systems go this winter? You know, flights coming in, going out, have there been minimized flights or what have you learned about the airport?
Right now, I think they're at a reduced capacity. It really depends on the airline industry and how much people want to travel. I think they are ready to go. They have everything, but it's really supply and demand.
I think it's part of the magic of skiing at Alta is that you can, boom, you land on your flight and, you know, 45 minutes later, you're clicking in your skis. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I think the answer is nobody really knows.
Not uncommon for me to ride the chair and talk to a customer and say, they left New York this morning and here they are at 11 o'clock and they're skiing powder, or they left LA and they're same deal. You know, like, it's just so convenient.
I think you, of all people, understand how important that is to you guys' business. It's just so many people. I know a lot of people who come from, you know, the coast of California, where they have ski resorts within 3 hours, but it's easier and quicker for them to actually go ski Alta. So that is a really a great boon for you guys. How much does Alta rely on foreign labor? Have the visa complications for foreign labor affected Alta?
They have not. It might surprise you, but we do not rely at all. I guess you could say because it's Alta, we can run an ad and we can fill it with domestic labor. You know, I think in my 30 years, we've had one or two people that have been a foreign labor.
Really?
That have been on a visa.
Really? That's remarkable in the ski industry. I think that says a lot to, again, the laid back vibe, the no frills, that we're here for skiing vibe, that local people want to work there, and not even just local. I think people come from all over the country to work there.
Part of it is, I think it too, is our culture as a company. We want all of our employees to ski. We want them to know this mountain, be familiar with this mountain, have a passion and a love for this mountain. Because if they have it, then it's reflected to our customers. It's reflected to our guests. And we want them to share it with the people that come. And so that we all have these magical moments. I mean, I have so many employees that, I'm going to take a year off and go to Alta. And just be a ski bum for a year. And all of a sudden, it's 20 years later, you know, and it was like they just fell in love with the place. They figured out how to make it work, and they're still here.
I love that story. And I'm one of those, too. I moved up to the mountains for one season, and now it's 19 seasons later. What opportunities do you give them? They have ride breaks and other opportunities to get on the mountain?
Yes, every job that we have, one of the criteria in designing the job is that there is some ski time built into it somewhere. So we've designed them all. You know, some of them are paid, some of them are not. But let's make sure everyone has an opportunity to get out and ski. We work to try to give people those opportunities. And then they, you know, like most ski areas, there's passes for families and others so that on their days off, they can also come up and bring their family up and enjoy the time on the mountain.
Well, I think it's a phenomenal way to treat your employees. And in that vein, what precautions will be in place for Alta employees to protect them from coronavirus this winter?
We house about 100 plus employees live at Alta, typically in the winter. We try to have enough employees here that if the canyon was closed to an avalanche, that we could still operate a portion of the ski area. And so that the lodge guests or whoever is trapped here could still go skiing. And, you know, so we've had to review all of those lodging employee housing units and reduce the density of some of the housing. And then we've in some of our we have some employee cafeterias, and we've had to change the procedures and policies there. We can't, fill them with employees shoulder to shoulder eating their meals. They have to kind of staggered shifts and maintain appropriate distancing, employee wellness checks and temperature checks.
How often are those going to be? What's the regimen for COVID testing?
Employee wellness check every day.
Okay.
Before you come to your shift. Not all of them include temperature checks, but the temperature checks, it will be all food and beverage. And then some departments like ticket sales and such, where places where people may work more closer to other employees for longer periods of time may require a temperature check every day. One of the things we're trying to work towards is if we do have an employee that's at work and then starts to have some symptoms that could be COVID-related, we're working towards being able to get them a test here in Alta quickly within a short period of time, within an hour, whether we have a COVID positive case or not. And then our intent is anyone that needs to be isolated or quarantined, that we would remove them from our employee housing and get them down canyon somewhere, so that we can just minimize that potential spread. It's kind of this motto, don't be the reason to end the season.
That's great. I'll remember that.
Okay? So do your part. Help us all work together. You may not agree in what we do, but we ask you as employees just to follow our policies and procedures so that we can keep not only open the ski area, but keep it open and allow us all to ski.
if a employee or guest does test positive, do you guys have access to somebody helping you do contact tracing, anything like that?
As the employer, we can be involved in the contact tracing in the workplace. The contact tracing outside of the workplace then becomes a responsibility. It's between the county health department and the employee. They kind of deal with that part of it. So we'll be involved in the event we have a positive test. We work with our department heads and the employee to determine who else is a potential close contact that needs to be quarantined and take the appropriate action that's there. When it comes to the guests, we won't really know much on the guests. The guests that maybe stay in the lodges, fall kind of under their purview, not us. And the guests that come and ski and are staying somewhere outside of the canyon, I don't know that we'll, we won't really know what happens.
Okay.
Unless one called and said, hey, I just want to let you know. I tested positive for COVID.
Well, and that's great insight, because that was my next question, is what should a guest do if they do test positive after having visited Alta?
I'm not really necessarily expecting them to call us and let us know. I don't know that that's useful information. I think they should just follow whatever, wherever they are, whatever the local health guidelines are for quarantine or whatever, they should follow that. If they happen to be a guest that was maybe in like a ski school lesson, that could have had close contact with an instructor or other class members, that would maybe be useful information for us that we could maybe pass on that, hey, you were in close contact, potentially in close contact with someone who tested positive.
That makes sense. So I think that would be the encouragement to our audience is if you do test positive after visiting any ski resort, if you have been involved in a lesson or stayed in a lodge or just had obvious close contact with a group of people, it is worth reaching back out and letting them know. Right. You mentioned, and I love this this ideology because it really is in the vein of, come for the skiing, stay for the skiing. You mentioned that you will keep a certain amount of employees on mountain so that you can open for interlodge. And not everybody's familiar with interlodge. I'm still learning about interlodge. I know you had a 54-hour interlodge last year that we can talk about. But what is interlodge? Why is it so awesome and challenging at the same time?
So when the storms hit the mountains here, they come in different levels of intensity. And so because Alta is located in this little Cottonwood Canyon, there are probably 70 slide paths or some number of slide paths here in the canyon. Some of them are in the town of Alta. So the lodges, the parking lots, a lot of our base facility potentially is in a slide path that if avalanche mitigation work wasn't done, through the year, during the season, the buildup of the snow could result in an avalanche that could hit those buildings or hit our parking lots or even hit some of our ski lifts. To avoid that from happening, avalanche mitigation work has to be done. When avalanche mitigation work is done above an occupied structure, the town of Alta will go into what's called interlodge, which means everyone must be indoors. Put everyone in a safe position so that if there is a slide that comes, that we're not hitting anybody that's outside. So whenever there's a big storm, it's not uncommon for the canyon to be closed to do control work in the canyon, but the town of Alta also being closed and put into this interlodge state. So everybody's indoors, stays indoors, and then they shoot the howitzer or now we're using remote avalanche control devices and to do that control work. And then when that's done, then we'll open the resort open. So you could have, through the years, there have been a few times when there has been a storm that's resulted in a significant avalanche in the lower canyon, but nothing happened in the upper canyon and we could open the ski area. And so if I have enough employees, I can open it up. It's kind of like we refer to that as country club skiing. You have a resort that has the capacity of about 6,000 people, and you're opening it for 1,500. So,
that's a dream. I've never experienced it, but I think it's the best thing that could ever happen to a powder hound. And you hear the stories, right, on the chairlifts at Alta, those stories of getting the special interlodge with the road closed. They are abundant.
So last year we had that February 6th and 7th. We had the storm that closed the canyon. 28 avalanches hit the highway.
Amazing.
We were closed for 2 days, high winds, lots of snow. So we were in interlodge, but there was really no skiing for the public. On the 8th, which was Saturday, The storm had abated. Canyon was buried in debris, the road. And so that morning, on Saturday morning, the 8th, it took us a little while to get the ski area, but we had the ski area open by midday. And the people that did stay in the canyon had about 2.5 hours to have out to themselves.
Oh, what a dream. Oh, man. I haven't actually met anybody who was there for that exact scenario, but I hope to on the chairlift next year because I want to hear those stories. Man, were you able to get out there that day?
I was. I was stuck here for the 2 days. It was great.
It snowed, you know, 7 feet or something, right? What's it like being an independent ski resort in today's ski industry climate of large conglomerates? I know that you guys are part of the Icon Pass, but you're still very much an independent resort. And what's it like in today's climate?
It can be a little challenging at times. You know, the larger conglomerates exercise their muscle, I guess, sometimes. Fortunately, the Alta brand, the Alta reputation, the Alta experience is strong enough that I think we do okay. We're concerned with some of the practices and others that do that drive volume more than quality of experience. You know, we're concerned about the Alta experience. We want to preserve it. We've talked about it. It's not about all about adding more people here. It's having the right amount of people at an appropriate yield that we can be sustainable. And that's what we try to do. And another unique thing about Alta is I've been here for 30 years. And during that time, we've never had any debt.
Really? That's remarkable.
For the last 30 to 40 years, the owners have been committed to, you know what, if we need to build a new chairlift or build a new building, we'll save up for it and we'll pay for it.
That's why you put a numbers guy in charge. Continue.
that's kind of the way it's been here is you know, we may not have the fanciest and the newest and the latest stuff. We try to stay competitive and upgrade our facilities, but we do it when we have the resources to do it. And that's what's enabled us a little bit during this COVID shutdown, enabled us to do some things like keep the ski area open for uphill traffic and keep our employees busy during that period of time because of, I think the, you know, we've been frugal in what we do in that regard.
Well, I can express for, I think, all skiers, my appreciation for you guys staying out of debt because that's magic. Then you really can do these little extra things that keep the focus on skiing and keep the focus off of some of the other things that other places have gone. What challenges and benefits does Alta face being so close to Salt Lake City and its large population center of now, I think, over 1.2 million people?
Yeah. So one of the challenges we have, of course, is just too much demand. The biggest challenge we have is this road that comes up and down the canyon. It only has a certain capacity. And while, you know, between Snowbird and Alta, we can have a probably 12 to 13,000 people here on a given day, getting them all here and getting them back up and down the canyon, particularly if there's any weather, is our biggest challenge. Our visitation numbers over the last 20 years have increased in the canyon. You know, we're up, you know, between Alta and Snowbird, we're up a double digit number. The road's the same road it was 20 years ago. So it handles the same amount of capacity. And so we've seen in the past few years, as we've been a little busier in the canyon, that we get a little snow and we get a lot of people here and we end up with a 2-hour commute to get down. So that's one of our biggest challenges is people are becoming frustrated with that. It's not an experience we want anyone to have. And so UDOT's working on a transportation study to try and design some solutions. And we're supportive of trying to be in that to find a solution to help move people in and out of the ski area, preferably without using automobiles, you know, some other way to move people so that they can come and ski and not have a significant amount of time of your day spent just trying to get to and from the ski area. So that's a big challenge that we have. So our location's a blessing and a curse in that regard. It goes both ways. This growing population, there's more pressure on these precious resources. We need to take care of them, help people to recreate, but do it in a way that we don't overrun what we have.
Great answer. And the only thing I have to add to that is I think they put in traction controls for the first time last year. And I just wanted to hear, what's your opinion on that system?
I am a proponent and I have been one of them pushing very hard for more traction controls. My preferred solution is traction control in the canyon November 30th to April 1st. You have to have four-wheel drive or you have to have those triple peak snow tires. It just takes one car with inappropriate traction on a snowy day to impact hundreds, if not thousands, of people.
And for people who aren't familiar, the road into Alta is a two-lane road. It's narrow. It's very windy, most of it. It's exposed to avalanches that we talked about. And when it snows in Alta, it snows inches an hour at times. I've been in the car trying to come down. And if one car blocks the road, it is a nightmare. It is everybody in the whole canyon can't get out or can't get in. And the traffic is just ridiculous.
One of the challenges is that someone flies in from New York and they rent a car and they come here. Well, the car rental companies aren't renting them a car that has the proper traction equipment. And that's been one of our pushes, is that let's get a traction law in place that requires all the equipment that comes up the canyon to have the proper equipment. That guy that flew in from New York, he doesn't have the right equipment, so he does have to drive really slow. And yeah, he might slide off the road. But let's give people the right equipment. That would go a long ways to helping people moving out, in and out of the canyon properly.
I agree. And for reference to the traction control, generally involves a police officer who stops you briefly just to check, make sure your tire tread is good and that you do have four-wheel or all-wheel drive. So some people argue, well, that slows things down a bit. But I think the other argument that, well, if we let anybody in here, they're more likely to block the road and cause a much bigger problem.
So in our challenge now is that traction control law only comes into effect when a storm's in place. And usually a lot of times we've already filled the ski areas with people that don't have vehicles with traction control. So when they go down, it's too late.
So it should be all season, as you mentioned before.
That's why I'm a proponent of all season.
So please tell me, Alta has a proposed, I'm not sure where you guys are with it, a tram that would potentially go from near the top of the Collins Lift to near the top of the Mount Baldy mountain at the top of the hill there. So tell me a little about this tram and where you guys are in that process.
So the purpose of it's in our master plan and it's been approved by the Forest Service. We have it on the shelf. It's an option we have to implement if we need to. So Mount Baldy is probably one of the most complicated pieces of avalanche terrain we have here at Alta. A lot of steep chutes and wind accumulates in different ways. And so it's keeping the avalanche mitigation work on Mount Baldy is very important to us, to keeping this side of the mountain open and protecting our assets on this side of the mountain. We do avalanche control work on Mount Baldy with a 105 howitzer provided by the Army. We flip that thing around, it shoots, we'll shoot shells in there. And then that's supplemented with what we call an avalancher. So right almost after every storm, we use the howitzer and the avalanchers to do control work on Mount Baldy. And that's just to open the ski area. And then when we get enough snow and we decide that it's time to let skiers hike and ski Mount Baldy, we then add that the ski patrol will actually hike Mount Baldy and use hand charges to do the rest of the control work to open it up to the general public. So the Army has let us know that our days of using the howitzer are numbered. But they've given us a fixed date now.
Wow. So you need a new solution.
We have to have a new solution. So one of the alternatives or one of the solutions that was put on the table was you put a little tram in there to run the patrol up. They can do their routes, get Baldy open, but also get the ski area open. We could run up, do the routes and get the ski area open. We can't reach all of the shots with we have an avalancher and then we have the 105. Well, the avalanchers can't get to all the shots, so we would have to have people up on top to address those shots or look at other alternatives. So one of the alternatives, as I said, is the Mount Baldy. Other alternatives that we are looking at include remote avalanche control systems. We currently have placed four Obelix remote control avalanche control devices on the east side of Mount Baldy over what we call the East Baldy's Traverse. And last 2 years, we've been using them to do control work on that side of the mountain. It's part of our ongoing process to determine whether we could use something like that on Baldy rather than having to have the tram.
Why wouldn't you use those on Baldy? What are the cons?
I don't know that I can answer that yet because we're still learning. UDOT has installed 10 new what are called VSIN towers above the town of Alta this winter. We're going to learn a lot from that to see if they adequately do the job that needs to be done. The problem with them is they're fixed. You can't move them. So they provide the percussion or the control work mitigation efforts in the same location each time. Storms don't always deposit snow in the same place every time. So you'd have to determine, do you have enough of them to deal with the appropriate control measures? So we're looking at maybe picking up a few VSINs that we would try over on what we call the East Castle in the future, and with the intent to be able to say, maybe we can do it with those remote control devices. Maybe we will never need to put a tram there. But we need to have an option in our back pocket in case the Army all of a sudden came in and said, oh, by the way, you know that date we gave you 4 years down the road or whatever it is? Well, it's now next year. Having the Baldy tram option on the shelf enables us to have an option that we could implement if we needed to. At this point in time, we're not proceeding with that. We're proceeding with exploring using remote control avalanche devices first. And we'll see if that bears fruit, we may never put a Baldy tram up there.
So for reference for our listeners, these remote avalanche devices, they essentially, a lot of them work on propane. They ignite a bunch of propane. That shock wave hits the snow, causes an avalanche, hopefully. And so you have avalanche control in that manner. And just so people can understand that. And how many people would potentially fit on the tram that if it does go through? And how long do you have this tram option for? Does it have an expiration date? Because right now you're green lighted for it. You could exercise that option. How long does that option last?
That's a good question. I don't know that I have an answer for that. Typically, the Forest Service has things that you have to put on the shelf for maybe up to about 5 years. And then you'd have to update it. You'd have to maybe refresh the plan to see if there's any change in conditions. To keep it alive. As far as the capacity of the tram, you know, we've looked at a couple of different configurations, you know, as low as 10 people, maybe up to 20, you know, it depended on the configuration and what we, you know, part of the discussion clearly is, is it just a tram for the patrol to do control work, or is it a tram that we're going to allow the public to use too?
Exactly what I have to ask you.
and we don't have the answer to that today because we're still evaluating and trying to determine what to do.
Why doesn't Alta allow snowboarders? And do you think that will ever change?
I don't see that changing. You know, it's just purely a management decision and a decision by not necessarily the management, but by the ownership of the ski area. So years ago, when snowboarding first kind of started to gain its traction, we looked at our mountain and kind of the way the mountain is laid out, it's not ideal for snowboarding. You'd have to make some changes to make it a little bit more accommodating.
A lot of traversing, which is difficult on a snowboard.
Yeah, which would be difficult. And a lot of uphill traverses in places too, you know, that we deal with. So it's more suited, better suited from getting around the mountain for us, for skiers, but not all those things could be overcome if we wanted to go that in that direction. About 20 years ago, when snowboarding was really taking off, we felt the impact of that. We had double digit declines for 5 years in a row. And we had kind of gotten to the point where we had to revamp our whole ticket suite and product and what we'd done. Up prior to that time, you know, to get a season pass to come out to kind of ski it out to, there was a limited number of them, and it was by a drawing. And we found that, you know what, we had to become more competitive. We didn't have kids' prices. We didn't have a lot of the things that were pretty standard for a lot of ski areas. And so the challenge I got from Mono at that time was, you need to figure out how to help us be sustainable and grow our business and be a ski area. We can't be sustainable. We can't continue down this path. And so we made some changes, and it slowly has worked its way back. And now our demand is such that, you know, we're not looking to add significantly more people. We're trying to preserve the quality of our experience. We don't have a lot of room for more growth. And so there's not a push to try to change that. And it's interesting, over the years, You know, it's probably 10 to 1 letters from people that say, you know, for every one person that is unhappy that we don't have snowboarding, we get 10 people that send us a letter that say, please keep it the way it is. Please don't change it. We love it. So kind of a niche in the market, I guess you could say, that we're filling right now. And it's working.
Well, there's definitely no shortage of demand. That's for sure. Alta is legendary. This will be a very unique season with the coronavirus pandemic. But one thing I've noticed that I keep finding these silver linings. You know, one example was, you know, Alta having stuff open last year during the closure, and that was a big silver lining. I did a ton of backcountry skiing. I explored some places I'd never been before, like Mount Timpanogos and some other things. So there's been some really vivid, bright, brilliant silver linings. What do you think the silver lining will be at Alta this coronavirus pandemic season?
One of the silver linings I think that's going to be out there is that because we will have less capacity, that the skiing experience may be enhanced for the people that do come. The other part of that is, you know, since skiing is an outdoor activity that we can do in the winter, a silver lining for a lot of people is it's something they can go do. We can provide recreational opportunities that have minimal risk, enables us as a company to hopefully be sustainable during this period of time. So provide a livelihood for our employees and takes care of our employee and our community. And we can continue to exist. And that means that we can weather this pandemic and be here to beyond and continue to provide skiing experiences for people. So those are a couple of things I thought of being silver linings.
I think there's going to be a lot of them. And I think that's one of the big challenges, but the big benefits of this pandemic is let's all really try to keep our eyes open for those silver linings, because that's what really keeps us going and keeps you happy and kind of makes you feel like you're hacking the system a little bit once in a while. So I think those are all really good points.
You know, if we think of our employees, and you know, one of the questions we sometimes ask our employees is, "Well, why are you here? Why do you come to work in a ski area that you know nobody's getting rich in a ski area?" I mean, it's
for sure.
you work for enough to live on in most cases, but it boils down to they come to ski. They come to have those magical moments we've talked about. You know, the day when it just snowed a couple of feet and you're able to stand at the top of the run and the snow is just sparkling with the sun glistening off of it. And you make those few first turns and it's just so smooth and sweet and there's snow in your face and you're going, this is why I am here. This is why I'm here.
You painted a picture for me. I was there. I could feel myself getting that sparkle, feeling that snow. It's this lifestyle that we're here for, Mike. And yes, you understand that. You've been here for 30 years. That's why people come to work at Alta. That's why people come ski at Alta. It's why we do all these things. It's not to get rich. It's not for almost anything else. It's a fantastic, clean, fun, healthy, incredibly inspiring lifestyle. Well, Mike, that's all I've got for you right now. Do you have anything else that you'd like to add here at closing?
No, I just invite everyone, if it works for you, to come make some magic at Alta this year, and hope that it all works out for everybody, stays healthy and you get outdoors, and let's all work together and get through this thing. So let's stay healthy. Let's stay open and stay skiing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's all be kind to each other. Thanks a ton for your time today, Mike. This was terrific. Have a great day and let's stay in touch. Thanks again. This episode of the Snowbrains podcast was brought to you by Alta Ski Area. The editing of this episode was done by Robert Wilkinson. The music was created by Chad Crouch. I'm your host, producer, and creator, Miles Clark. Thank you for listening.